Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the show that's not interesting, not too interesting, but just interesting enough.
Yes. Beautifully done. That was great, you. Alex.
Not too interesting.
Not too interesting. You are listening to Alex, and with me today are Robin.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. And Martin.
Nicely covered. I like it. I'm fine. Yeah, nothing else to say there.
How are you, Martin? You okay?
I'm well. I'm well. But what we don't ask is, what have you been up to? I don't ask you that because we haven't seen you guys. Actually, we haven't seen each other in a while.
It's been a while.
So what have you been up to? Just, you know, any highlights?
What have you been up to, Robin?
Nothing. What have you been up to?
Well, highlights of my week, apart from the birth of my child, was, no, that didn't happen, was playing board games.
Yeah.
Always fun. Don't do it often enough. Problem when you live far apart from other people, you have a collection of board games that just kind of slowly grows over time.
Yeah.
And then you sit there looking at it like, I can't physically carry these things.
No. Yeah. Just get a little rolling suitcase.
Yeah. Video games are a lot easier.
I played this board game with Robin and he said that, oh yeah, it takes about an hour and a half. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Rolled out a mat about 2 meters each with about 100 different little figurines, and I just looked at it and I was like, there's no way this
not
is
taking an hour and a half.
There's no way this is an hour and a half.
I think it was like 3 hours, maybe.
Yeah, 3 hours was
three and a half.
It wasn't actually that long, in fairness.
Yeah.
But it was very
three
fun.
And a half hours
very
is quite
fun.
A long time.
In fairness, it was called Blood Rage.
Blood Rage.
Great it's game, playing Vikings. We should play it sometime. But in my defense, there were 6 players, only one of us had played it before. So that probably stretched the time a little bit. But yeah, it was a really good game. You picked it up really well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
what have you been up to, Martin?
Well, I went to a wedding last weekend. It was good. My cousin's wedding. Very nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. First wedding taking the little one along.
Oh.
Which was, it was quite tiring, actually.
Really?
Two little weddings, yeah. She was very good. She was really good.
Oh, great.
But we always having to run after her and make sure she's not.
Does that mean you're on your best behavior as well?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Shame. Yeah, I couldn't get absolutely smashed.
Did she cry or anything during the ceremony?
No.
Nice.
No. She was actually really, really good.
Huh. So why do you think that was?
Just a good kid.
Okay, fair enough.
I think. I don't know. But yeah. Just have just
good, you know,
a good day.
A
good day.
Child,
she's not always wonderful. Most of the time. Most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I visited Edinburgh last week.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
I went up to Scotland.
Scotland, yeah. You went to Loch Ness, didn't you?
And I went to Loch Ness, yeah.
Did you?
Did you
I
see
did
his
not
Twitter?
See Nessie.
What?
Yeah, you can see my pictures of Nessie on my Twitter.
Yeah.
It's still, for some reason, Alex Brown ATC. I really need to change that.
But there's a picture of you finding Nessie.
Yeah, I found Nessie.
Oh, good.
So check it out on my Twitter.
Very good.
It's not. It was. But it was fun. I didn't see Nessie.
Shame.
I went to the world's largest collection of Scotch whiskey in the world.
That must have been great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was very good.
Any highlights?
You're a whiskey drinker.
I wouldn't say so. No. Yeah. I'm not a connoisseur. They all taste the same to me.
Ooh.
I was trying different ones, but like,
taste the same.
Mm, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah.
But a really strong like peaty smoky whiskey would taste different to a smooth whiskey.
They all taste like fire. Come on. And I refuse to accept anything else.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You're drinking them wrong.
Yeah. But no, it was fun.
Very good, very good.
That's all right.
You know what else is good?
What?
Our Patreon.
Our patrons are the best.
Patrons on Patreon are the best patrons.
Our Patreon's good, and the patrons on the Patreon are good too.
They're the best. Yeah.
Just a massive thank you to all those who've supported us. Even since the last time we gave a shout out, there's been even more of you. And just thank you so much for your support. It does mean a lot to us, and it's allowed us to continue doing this. So thank you so much. If you want to get involved, get bonus footage, behind the scenes stuff, extra episodes, then you can visit our Patreon. The link's in the description.
This week we spoke about cats, and
we did. We spoke about decomposing bodies
and cats.
Cats eating decomposing bodies, and what you want to do with your body after you die. So if you want to get involved in that discussion, head on over.
It's always a lively discussion on Patreon.
Nice.
Thank you very much.
So, gentlemen, what other than the cats thing, what have you learned this week?
This week I learned something that shocked me to my core.
Go on.
Because, you know, Sesame Street.
Yeah, I know of Sesame Street.
The Cookie Monster.
Yes.
He's one of the best characters ever in creation. Even though I haven't watched Sesame Street since I was a little child.
I watched it yesterday.
I probably quote, there you go. You have a reason though, at least.
Yeah.
I probably quote the Cookie Monster all the time without realizing it. Nom nom cookie. The Cookie Monster's real name is Sid.
Is it?
Sid.
That's what I learned this week.
Monster.
His real name is Sid.
Really?
And then he became the Cookie Monster.
Weird. The Cookie Monster has like an
origin
lore,
story.
There is a lore, yeah. Wow. So like apparently it was 2004, there was an episode where they revealed that he wasn't always the Cookie Monster.
Mm, okay.
He was just regular Sydney. And then one day he discovered cookies and then became the Cookie Monster.
So
like Batman. So,
like or like, you know, a successful person who turns to drugs and
yes, actually, yeah. Yeah,
that's what they're kind of going for, but with cookies instead.
I don't know if that was the context of the revelation.
That's what I
today's word is addiction.
Hey, for addiction.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah. What have you learned?
I've learned that the moon is roughly 400 times smaller than the sun in terms of diameter.
Oh.
And the moon is about 400 times the distance away from the sun than it is to the Earth.
Okay.
That's fine.
Hence why they seem roughly the same size in our sky.
Ah.
Hence why our eclipses are so symmetrical when we have a solar eclipse.
That, isn't it? It's almost like it was designed.
Yes. Ooh. I know.
Yeah, that is an odd coincidence.
It is.
If you want to believe that it was a coincidence.
They're not exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's not exactly 400.
But it's just about right. Yeah.
So they look roughly the same size. Of course, at different times of the month and of the year, the moon might be a harvest moon. It seems massive. But in general, they look roughly the same size in the sky because of that fact.
That is really cool.
That is cool. Well, this week I learned, you know, the movie Independence Day.
Yeah.
You sound disappointed, Alex.
Yeah. No, I love it.
You know the movie Independence Day?
You know that one where he uploads a virus to the alien mothership?
Oh, yeah. It makes no sense. Mac, doesn't he? Yeah.
Must go faster. He says that in Independence Day. I know that's from Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
did you know that the movie was originally going to receive support from the US military?
Yeah.
Originally, but the US military refused when they didn't take out like all the mentions of Area 51 from the script.
Seriously?
So they were going to, but their condition was that they took out any mention of Area 51 from the script.
Really?
And the filmmaker refused. So yeah, they pulled out. They were originally meant to provide personnel, vehicles, and costumes for the film. But yeah, producers refused to remove the script's Area 51 references.
I can't remember. I take it it's referenced over and over again.
Yeah. Well, they go to Area 51. So
I haven't seen it in about 20 years.
It'll be pretty difficult.
It's pretty essential to the story. Yeah. I actually respect the filmmakers a little bit by saying, we're not going to compromise on this. It's kind of essential to the story. But I can see why the military would pull out, because if they support the movie, then they're probably tacitly endorsing the Area 51 claims made in the film, right?
Mm. And also, was this before Area 51 was publicly acknowledged?
Yeah, wasn't it 2013, wasn't it? As late as that the CIA first acknowledged through the Freedom of Information request. But I mean, that must have added a lot of cost, right? Because the cost of the costumes and whatever else they were supposed to
provide. I imagine the military weren't doing it for free, though, were they?
Well, they do that, though, don't they? When most nations have this kind of arrangement, but America in particular, the military will cooperate with and provide personnel, basically like stuntmen, and it's free. Like, I think it was Goldfinger, the James Bond movie, all the American Army soldiers who are in the finale. They're real soldiers, and they're wearing their real uniforms, and they're acting for free.
And also, I mean, it's not like
that's use of public money.
I guess.
And also, it's not like they would be getting nothing from it. Independence Day is an incredibly pro-American film.
Well, that's also true. Yeah. It's called Independence Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's really interesting. Yeah.
There you go. That's why.
Fair enough. Good on the filmmakers.
What was your favorite thing that all three of us learned this week? Who won?
I think the moon fact was pretty
amazing. When I found that fact, I thought it was quite special.
Amazing,
yeah. That was pretty cool.
Intriguing.
That was pretty awesome.
Okay, on to the week in weird. What's the weird news stories from the week?
What weird news stories do we have? I have a kind of personal story. It wasn't in the news.
That's all right.
But it's something.
You've immediately gone against this segment.
I have indeed.
Although I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
So I can wait.
No, go.
So I met someone the other day, an old lady. She's about 80 years old, I think. And I just bumped into her. I hadn't seen her for a while.
You knew her.
She lives, I don't know her exactly, but we live locally.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, hello, how you been? And she said, I was in hospital before Christmas, and that's why I haven't been around much. And I said, oh, how come? And she said, well, my son lives in Germany, and he comes visit me at weekends. So he flies back. And one Friday, just before Christmas, I was gone shopping to get the food for the weekend for my son visiting. And I got back into the house. And when I walked in, I shut the door, and there were hundreds of little people all over my house. And not little people in the politically correct dwarf term, as in miniature people.
What?
And I said, okay, what were they doing? She said, they were cleaning. They were going all over the house and they were cleaning everything. I was like, okay. And they were doing things. They were moving the furniture and things like that. I was like, okay. And then I went outside and they were all over the garden. And then a plane passed overhead and I looked up. I looked back down and they were still there, but they changed their clothes from cleaning clothes, ordinary clothes, to horse guard uniforms.
What?
Yeah. I'm thinking, okay.
What kind of hospital were you in?
No, she was at home. And then she went back into the house and all the furniture had changed colour.
All of her hair had changed colour.
The furniture had changed colour. All the furniture, the upholstery had all changed colour. And so she sat down and she watched 3 episodes of Poirot back to back.
As you do.
Yeah, no, Poirot's and she said, good. And the incredible thing was I predicted them all. And I thought, yeah, if this is a hallucination, watching Poirot and predicting the answer probably isn't.
That's not mad, is it?
But she said all these people were over there and she could feel them. They were climbing over her and touching her and she could feel them on her. Her next door neighbor is a nurse, or was a head nurse at a hospital. So she called her and said, there are all these people over my house, hundreds of them. And the next door neighbor said, okay, she asked her some questions to establish whether something had happened, like a heart attack or a stroke. And the woman I met said no. So she said, well, I'll give you this special phrase, not a code or anything, but if you call the hospital and you say this thing, they will admit you into emergency straight away. You won't have to wait in A&E. So she did that and the ambulance came, took her to hospital. The doctors did all kinds of tests. She had an MRI scan. She had a CAT scan. She had all kinds of injections and things taken out of her. And whilst they were doing this in the hospital bed, the little people were still there, but this time they were ninjas. And they were coming up and like prodding her.
Oh no.
With the swords. Not stabbing her, prodding her. And she could feel them. And she was telling the doctors, they're there. I can feel them like right there. He's prodding me with his sword. And the doctors were just like, okay, well, we're going to do these tests, find out what's wrong with you. And she's thinking, I asked her, like, how did you feel during this? And she said, I thought I was going mad. I was like, fine.
Hmm.
And then her son finally arrived from the airport and she got the doctors to call him up to say, by the way, your mum's in the hospital, you should come to hospital instead of going home, she won't be able to pick you up. So he came by and he was the first person, she said, to tell her that all these little people weren't real. No one else at that point had said these people aren't real.
Mm.
So she generally thought they were there. She couldn't decide what was going on. Anyway, so she's in the hospital for a few days. Eventually she stops seeing them. Doctors bring the test results and they say, we've examined you. We've done all these tests. You are perfectly physically healthy. You haven't had a stroke. You haven't had a heart attack. There's nothing wrong with your brain. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. There's all these conditions where you hallucinate and you haven't got any of these things. In fact, you're the healthiest 80-year-old that we've ever encountered.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. And she says the only explanation they could give her was that there's this syndrome, which is known by several names. It's called Todd syndrome or Lilliputian syndrome or Alice in Wonderland syndrome, which is, and they call it that because the authors, Lewis Carroll and Jonathan Swift and Thingy Todd, they wrote stories about people's changing sizes. Mm. And in the case of Gulliver's Travels, little people, the people of Lilliput, they're all miniature people. And they said, we think you probably have this syndrome, which we suspect these authors also had, which is where they saw little people.
Yes.
Wow.
But we don't like to say it's a hallucination because there's nothing physically wrong with you that we usually identify as a as a trigger for hallucinations. Yeah. Mm. So she hasn't seen them since then, but she might see them again. And I said, if you see them again, what will you do? And she just said, I hope I don't see them again.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was a really weird story.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That was a weird story.
Yeah.
And it was news to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Wow. I don't know how I can talk that. That's really interesting. okay. Well, I've got a story. this is something a bit different and something a bit more comical, I thought. It was pretty funny.
More comical than mini ninjas.
I thought the million injuries was quite funny.
It was touch and go there. I was worried it was going to be something serious, but it turns out to be pretty wholesome, actually.
She's all right, actually. Yeah.
And the ninjas weren't stabbing her. They were just giving her, like, prodding her.
Just gentle little ninjas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a story. This is in the Metro. A man found his own grave at a cemetery.
What?
And he's blaming his ex-wife for putting it there.
What? Wow.
That's
a power play right there, isn't it?
So Alan Hattell was very worried by the fact that nobody had phoned him in 3 or 4 months and couldn't figure out why.
Oh, wow.
And he now believes that people think he's died, and he wants them to know the truth.
Of course he does.
He blames his ex-wife for putting his gravestone in the cemetery. Although he admits he can't be certain. He can't be certain it was her.
There's a few questions.
Yeah, so many questions.
The first one being, he says people hadn't contacted him for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Mm. He's getting no contact from anyone. Surely make the first move. If he suspected that this might have happened.
You would think, why would you just go to the grave? Why would you go to the gravestone? Why would you go to the cemetery and be like, oh, they must think I'm dead. I wonder if my gravestone.
If there's some kind of data protection thing about who paid for the gravestone and everything, surely he's entitled to find out. Like that's my grave.
Well,
Are we going to find out that?
No twist.
Well, I mean, the apparently it's. Angus Council said that it was unable to discuss the issue or disclose any information about who purchased the plot, which is odd. I mean, I don't know why that is.
Idea.
Yeah.
The patron gets to $1,000. I don't know much of graves. We're gonna make an Alex Brown grave.
Just an Alex Brown one.
Yeah.
That Brown. Could mean anything. Do you know how many Alex Browns there are?
It doesn't matter.
In the world?
And then we'll go there on a.
It'll be
in plain
Alex
sight.
Brown ATC on the gravestone.
Yeah.
Twitter handle.
So
then they can't say anything. Okay.
Yeah, they can't. They can't say anything.
Did it have the dates as well?
It doesn't say.
Because that would be mad, wouldn't it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't have the dates. It just has his name.
Okay. Did she hold like a fake funeral, or did she put an obituary in the papers? Because if everyone else thought he was dead, they can't all just happen to go to the grave.
Yeah.
Must have been some kind of ploy.
I don't think there was. I think it was kind of. It must have done secretly. I don't know. There's very little information.
Someone thinks you're dead, they're not going to suddenly phone you up and say,
"Yeah,
how's it going?"
I guess this is why he suspected his ex-wife. So apparently, Alan's ex-wife bought the plot of land.
Here we go.
When they were together, and
before they divorced?
Yeah, I think the intention was they get their plot of land ready for when they die. And then they're buried side by side.
Just have interest. How old is it?
He's 75 years old.
So it's a very literal, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
Clever. I get that.
But they've been separated for 26 years. And there's apparently no animosity between them. So I don't know why she would just do this.
Was she also seeing little people over her body? just thought he was dead.
So it's come out of nowhere then? Yeah.
It's come out of nowhere.
Burning anger building up.
He says he doesn't even want to be buried. He wants to be cremated. So this is... I don't know why that's important.
Can you have a headstone if you're cremated? You can, can't you?
Yeah, I think you can. But buying the plot, that's... Yeah. So they've been separated for 26 years. He's 75. She, presumably... Maybe she sold the plot to somebody else who hated him. like his nemesis.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't care. I'll just sell it. And the nemesis has put up this gravestone as a prank.
If I was him, I'd be phoning her up and saying, what's going on here? Was this you? Most likely it was.
Do you know what I think reading this story? Because you've made some good points. Why wouldn't he, if he's worried about his social life, why wouldn't he just ring one of his friends, make the first move, like you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the first thing they would say is, oh, sorry, I thought you were dead. that would put the story to rest.
Yeah.
Maybe he's quite alone.
But the fact that he went to the cemetery,
found
this, saw contacted the Metro.
Or the Metro found out somehow.
Mm.
But I just think that... Mm. It's almost like he's done this himself and has planted the story.
What do you reckon?
I reckon maybe. Or
perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stories like this can get picked up by a very local town village newspaper.
This is the kind of human interest story that the Metro likes to report on. But yeah, you raise a good point. Why, if his friends are still alive and they're the ones that have been ghosting him, right, whilst they thought he was dead, he would presumably know what happened from them. They'll be able to explain, oh, I went to your funeral. We buried a coffin. Or to say, oh, I just got told by your ex-wife.
There was the funeral.
Yeah.
Do you know what I suspect? Looking at this in the nice kind of way.
You screaming fake news?
No, I'm not screaming fake news, but I think you may be right when you say that he was lonely. Because like he's part of this several times in the article, he says that. He wants them to know that he's not dead. He wants people to know that he's still alive, kind of thing. And I think he may be lonely, maybe planted the story, or like, you know, actually put his gravestone there.
That's quite
sad. I don't know, maybe that's it.
Maybe.
Surely his ex-wife will come out now and say,
I did not do this.
He did it. Yeah. Or maybe he's a time traveler.
I wouldn't have chosen that granite.
Perhaps. But what if he's a time traveler without realizing it and he just woke up one day not realizing he was waking up in the future after he died?
What? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And then contacted the Metro. Yeah.
Straight to the Metro. I know what I'm doing.
Anyway, that was my story. That's turned weirdly really sad towards the end.
That's a weird story, though.
Oh. It is. It's
super weird.
Will it ever be resolved? Find out next week in the Metro.
How about you, Martin? What's
So my story is about a dog. So the patron is a cat. And this one's about pets. This one's about a dog.
Someone's regretting having a baby.
I also do have a cat, though.
Someone's regretting having that cat.
So this story is about a man and his dog. So his dog was very, very unwell. He had a deadly form of cancer, his dog did. And like most people who have pets, it's a very, very sad thing when you know that your dog most likely is going to have to be put down. It's a horrible, horrible thing to have to go through. And it's something that most of us, if you've had a pet, do have to go through. Pets do end up getting put down. But this man, he really didn't want his dog to be put down. He was like, okay, well, is there anything we can do? Anything at all? And the vets advised him the dog probably should be put down because there's very little chance of him recovering.
Right.
And so this dog was given a month to live, this golden retriever. And and he said, I'll pay whatever's required. He's a rich man. He owned this business, a car parts business. And he paid for this very expensive cancer treatment surgery that had a 1% chance of working.
Wow.
So the dog goes through this and recovers.
Ooh.
So this dog called Scout recovers from this, and pretty much all of the cancer's gone, which is amazing. Whoa. Amazing story in itself, right?
Yeah.
And there's 1% chance of surviving, and luckily this dog does.
Yeah.
But being a businessman and owning this company, he wanted to do something to give back to this vet who had saved his dog. So what does he do? Does he buy him a car? Does he donate to the pet place? No. He pays $6 million for a 30-second Super Bowl advert to promote this pet site and the treatment.
No. Oh, my God.
Some people have too much money.
$6 million for this ad.
When you said he was wealthy, I was thinking...
Is this for this year? There's going to be a Super Bowl ad for a... Wow.
Is this another plant? Is this him? He can't actually afford $6 million. So he said he wants to buy an ad, and then they've said, oh, it'll be $6 million. And he said, I can't do that. So he's gone to the papers and said, I took out a $6 million ad in the Super Bowl. Do you know, I haven't watched the Super Bowl, so I don't know if the advert actually aired.
Do you know what this vet could do with more than $6 million worth of marketing?
He could solve a lot of hunger.
Just $6 million.
Just have it.
Yeah, I think that's probably better than
the Super
Bowl.
He could give it to the poor. He could help them. Instead of saving his bloody dog,
he could pay
and
for
thanking his bloody dentist or whatever it is.
Hundreds of other dogs to go through this treatment.
Yeah, the percentage is no longer 1%. I guess 1.5.
No, yeah, 2%? The percentage of this treatment working has definitely gone up. I mean, this is an amazing story, and this advert encourages people to donate to this veterinary school that carried out this procedure, aggressive chemotherapy.
I could have given the $6 million to the school.
Could have done,
instead.
But how many people see the Super Bowl? I mean, in terms of the exposure as well, because people pick up on this story, won't they?
Yeah.
In fairness, yeah. okay, maybe there is some logic there. If they end up raising more than $6 million for this place, maybe there's...
They're going to have to raise a lot more to justify not giving the money to the vet center.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
6 million people donated $1 each. You get the money back for the advert.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it's... Mm. Not only is it helping with the treatment of dogs, but actually for cancer research in general...
Yeah, can this be applied to humans?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Exactly. So there's this wider implications here. There's just a bit of a good news story. This dog survived.
Absolutely amazing.
And this man did something pretty crazy with the money.
So when did the dog cancer treatment happen?
This was late last year, I believe.
How's Scout doing? Is he all right?
Well, up until the point of this being released... This was yesterday, so apparently he's fine.
You have this massive thing. Everyone's like, oh, this cancer treatment is great. It worked for this survivor dog. And then you find out, ah, dog died a month after the treatment. It was unrelated. It was run over by a truck.
God damn it.
A cancer truck.
It's owned by like a Super Bowl.
It's owned by the vets.
Do we know anything about what the treatment involved?
So it was an aggressive form of chemotherapy, let's say.
Aggressive?
Aggressive form of chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Was the dog in pain?
I imagine the dog was in pain. The dog's now fine. So the beginning of it shows the dog running, the beginning of this advert shows the dog running across beaches, I believe.
Reconstructed footage. This is not the same dog. A side effect of the chemotherapy is your dog will have no legs.
Oh God!
But the cancer's in its legs. Yes, we cut them off.
Oh no!
What was the chemo?
Groundbreaking therapy.
Gentlemen, we have the technology. It's just a robot dog. We can rebuild.
It's actually the vets just sending him videos of a dog, a golden retriever, saying your dog's doing really well. It's like, can I see the dog? It's like, no.
That just came out of the dog.
Here's it running across a beach.
Oh no.
Have you got $6 million? Yeah. Anyway, good story.
That's a great story.
The dog's doing well, supposedly. This advert is being aired, and as far as we know, it's the same dog.
Some rich people are just, their priorities are not quite right. But this is great for the dog.
Yeah.
And who knows, like you say, the dog could be the catalyst for a new form of cancer treatment that saves lots of many of human lives.
I'm happy for both of them. I'm happy for the man who, you know, made his dog healthy again, the vets who gets this exposure, and the dog who's definitely the same dog.
He's calling his name, she's not coming back.
Scout! Hey, boy!
Okay, shall we move on to the question? You're missing a section.
Oh my god!
Episode. Question of the week.
Sorry. Question of the week.
Question of the week. Yeah. What is our question this week? You know. Will Scout ever come back? Discuss.
Question of the week.
So this week's question of the week is actually brought to us by one of our Patreon supporters, Josh Chomatek.
Oh, hi, Josh.
Who suggested that we talk about Polybius. For those of you who don't know, Polybius was an arcade, supposedly, an arcade game in the 1980s, which when people played it gave people... hallucinations and seizures, and the FBI quickly took it away, and it was some kind of secret government arcade game, basically. Yes. But it's been ingrained in pop culture and legend ever since. This mystery's survived. And Josh Chomatek wants us to ask the question, why are we still talking about Polybius?
Ah.
It is a good question. I mean, it seems to have this staying power, hasn't it, over the years, despite various accounts basically debunking it, or at least... putting doubt on these stories that have come out about it in the past.
Yeah, there's some explanations for it. So I talk about it, give it a little bit of background.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
I think with Polybius, it's important to look at what was going on in the US, like before Polybius actually came out supposedly in the 1980s. And I think if you journey back a few decades in the US, you've got like CIA secret projects like Project MKUltra.
Right,
and I think Project MKUltra is a huge influence in the Polybius kind
of brainwashing stuff.
Mystery, yeah. So you've got the CIA were trying to develop interrogation methods to force confessions in prisoners, and that involved illegal experimentation on human subjects, which kind of feeds into this whole Polybius mythos of you know, the CIA conducting experiments on people and trying to brainwash them and warp their minds.
Yeah.
Except Polybius is just a game that causes this.
I guess it's been proven time and time again that the CIA and the US government in general have been doing shady things, you know, behind the backs of the citizens, from the likes of Northwoods when they considered killing their own citizens, to, like you say, MK Ultra and various others as well. So it's like, it's not unfounded that they would be thinking about doing something like this. Or and what more mass appeal do you have than video games, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah. I was about to say, the story of Polybius combines the two things that the internet really loves, which is conspiracy theories and video games. I think particularly with Polybius, it helps that video games, particularly in America, are a hot topic always for behavior modification. You've always got that group of crusaders who are saying video games are making our children violent, video games are making our children do this. And in the 80s as well, you've got films such as The Last Starfighter. Did you ever see that?
No.
One of the early films to use CGI for its visual effects. And it's still quite charming, even though CGI has aged. And the idea there is that there's this video game called The Last Starfighter, which is actually some kind of alien recruitment thing. And they've seeded this game across the galaxy trying to find the best pilots. And the people who get the top score on the game get kidnapped by the aliens, basically, and put into their Starfighter program. But it's all child-friendly, family-friendly fun. And that came out in 1982, 1983, something like that. So you've got that atmosphere, that pop culture atmosphere, of that's ready, that's willing to accept the idea that a video game is actually some kind of secret experiment.
Yeah, well, the US definitely. Army used video games.
That's true.
For recruitment and training purposes
that's
as well,
isn't
it?
Point, yeah. So when people are talking
that far-fetched.
When people are talking about the US government and their interest in video games, there's clearly a precedent there. Yeah, exactly, yeah. With the US being involved in making games to recruit people to the army. What was it? America's Army, I think it's just called, isn't it? America's Army.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like, actually people in the army, in the military, that use, like, Xbox controllers when they're piloting drones.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of makes it seem a bit more like a game, you know?
Well, most flight simulators that actual pilots train on, they're essentially video games, aren't they? But with the best joysticks in the world.
Yeah, basically.
To answer, like, how this came about, I think part of the reason is because there was a lot of precedent at the time of distrusting the government. And video games were really entering the fray at this point in terms of pop culture, and it was just culture, especially in the US. And bear in mind, going back to MK Ultra, the project officially ended in 1973. However, many people suspected experiments were going on in secret.
Right.
This is just what the US government was saying, because, you know, this was a secret project that had just been disclosed.
Yeah.
Why would the people trust the government at this point? So the origins of Polybius happened in 1981, when a few arcades in Portland, Oregon, allegedly had an arcade cabinet called Polybius. This game never appeared in any game publication magazines, and there's no record of it ever existing. But people who apparently played this game allegedly suffered seizures, bouts of amnesia, night terrors, and most importantly, were completely addicted to playing the game. The game itself was allegedly some kind of top-down shooter with bright and chaotic vector graphics, and you'd have to clear out waves of enemies to make it on the high score list. In terms of where that came from, yeah, I'm not sure, but maybe that was from, like, some 1980s films, that kind of thing.
There's loads of games
invaders,
like that.
Yeah. Waves of energy.
That sounds pretty standard,
Waves of energy? Waves of enemies.
And allegedly, every couple of weeks, strange men in black would visit the arcades. They would open them up, not take any money, and simply retrieve some data from the machines. After a couple of months of this, the machines mysteriously disappeared, never to be seen again.
But this is just an urban legend, though. And it's appealing. It's a good story, but it's obviously a story. And I think there's that fella, Brian Dunning, who has...
Wow, yeah. Good memory. I was just about to bring him up.
All right, yeah. Well, he's researched this, and arcade games are very well recorded because they had industrial catalogs that all arcades would have to order the games from. It'd be advertised, and there's just no record whatsoever of this thing ever existing, which of course feeds into the conspiracy theory, but I think proves that it didn't exist. But didn't he say that there are precedents for the things that they're describing? So there was a game called Polyplay.
Polyplay, yeah.
Which was seized by the government. Was it the government? Or was it the manufacturer withdrew all the Polyplay machines?
It was, I think it was made by the German Democratic Republic in 1985, Polyplay. Yeah. So I don't know, if that was seized by the government or just kind of disappeared off the radar.
Right.
It was quite an obscure game, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game, Polyplay, had the exact same font that this legendary
Polybius
had.
If you're taking elements from real life,
that's what the
best legends do, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's the enduring appeal. You only have to look at the volumes and volumes of creepypastas that people write and people watch on YouTube and go onto creepypasta websites to know that there is definitely this appetite for a crossover between real life events that could happen and then the slight kind of supernatural, slightly extended fantasy that this kind of falls into.
Yeah.
So it's towing the line between the two so well. And that's why I think it has that real enduring appeal.
Yeah. And I think that's what actually interests me with conspiracy theories a lot of the time. Like a lot of them I won't believe. Like I'm not sure I believe Polybius was ever existed, but I'm really interested in how, or like finding out how that could have come about.
Yeah.
And Brian Dunning actually noted that in 1981 in Portland, two gamers did fall ill when they were playing different games. So one of them fell ill with a migraine after playing Tempest, and the other suffered from stomach pain after playing Asteroids for 28 hours.
That's mad, but at the same time, that is exactly that, isn't it? It's combining different elements of different stories to make something that's probably more fantastical than it would otherwise be.
But sounds authentic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Even weirder, there was another case 10 days after those people got ill.
Yeah.
Where the FBI did raid several video arcades in the area.
Oh.
However, this wasn't in connection to video games, but was allegedly due to the owners being suspected of using the machines for gambling. People see gamers getting ill in the newspaper, then they see the FBI raiding video game arcades.
Yeah.
After MKUltra.
Yeah.
And then somehow, maybe someone saw this obscure game somewhere that disappeared called Poly something. This German Polyplay game that disappeared somewhere made Polybius.
Mm-hmm.
And then the legend was born.
Mm. And then you get the legend reinforced by people who remember those things happening
and
remember the game Polyplay. I'm just like, I remember Polybius.
Might have actually been it,
I remember that, But
the Mandela effect.
Yeah, perhaps. Exactly. But then it becomes pop culture, and you get things like The Simpsons. There's a Simpsons episode, isn't there, which has Polybius in the background of a shot where Bart's in the arcade. And then you get stuff like that guy who actually made a fake machine.
I mean, exactly, yeah. It exists now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a real game.
There's a game called Polybius.
Oh, right, it's a real game, yeah. Yeah, made by someone who'd heard this story and then made it reality, which can only ever confuse the issue, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I always wonder with this, like when they say the Men in Black came along and they opened up the machine and took the data as opposed to money.
Yeah.
Firstly, surely people would be putting money in, so they'd have to take that too. But secondly, what data would they have gained from people playing the game?
Good question.
Doesn't quite add up, that.
Oh man, we've got
back in the day. Yeah, what information?
What can you get from that?
We've got a full 2 megabytes here. We're gonna have to bring out the truck.
Yeah.
Like who's playing it? Well, how the
reflexes?
Some kind of.
But I mean,
the mind control element. Yeah. Like, how does that kind of? How do you get data from the machine?
I suppose you could be measuring people's responses to the mind control elements that you're feeding them.
So if you've got heart rate and
If you've got like a set pattern of, well, you've got the level design, so you've got different pathways that people could take in theory, and you've got a set pattern of lights or colors or whatever that they're flashing at people surreptitiously.
How do people react to
it? And how do people react to it? Yeah, like, 55% of people go left. Yeah, 67% of people go back after this point. That kind of
seems like,
again, I don't know exactly what they.
A lot of the work that they could have done with that, they could have done without people knowing and legitimately.
Yeah.
lots of tests and studies and games go on all the time.
That's a good point, exactly.
I mean, I think if we're assuming that the US government made this like super high-tech game that causes people to have seizures and that kind of thing, then they've got some way of getting data from it as well, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, true.
again, yeah. those kind of details that you would really need are always glossed over in these kind of
Yeah, what exactly is the government's aim? Like, you've got this mad scientist working for the FBI or whatever, and they're like, haha, I've invented this video game which will brainwash people and collect data on them. And like, great, install it now. And his boss is like, so what data can we use? He's like, I don't know.
Let's just get people seizures.
Collect data.
The aim is to give people seizures. Yeah,
it's interesting. Interesting either way. So going back to the question,
yes,
why are we still talking about Polybius? I think you touched on it at the start. Yeah, it's fun, and also it combines the internet's two greatest things, right? Video games and conspiracy theories. Yeah.
And two elements that are growing as well and have grown in the digital age, right?
Yeah.
So it has only become more relevant to people and more kind
That's
of
true.
What's the word? Relatable.
Yeah.
And I think with things like Stranger Things as well, you've got these like nostalgic things.
Nostalgia
is a big thing at the moment.
Yeah.
I think that's probably helped it stick around in the public sphere. And also, I mean, it was never proven that it wasn't true.
Yes.
We have to say that.
Not definitively.
There's still that ambiguity surrounding it. Yeah. So I think for the time being, at least, the mystery will live on.
Indeed. Cool. Fantastic. So, Alex, this week, have you brought us a quiz?
I have indeed, Martin. I have indeed. Quiz?
Yeah.
There's no questions on Polybius, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Welcome, guys, to the weekly quiz.
Something to say there, Robin?
No.
As always, there will be 10 questions plus a bonus question. Who's winning at the moment in the league?
It's a very good question.
Martin
has won two quizzes.
I don't know. I think we've won the same amount, but I've actually played more games, so I think you're on top.
Ooh.
But it depends.
Okay. So we both won two.
In future, we're going to do this in order.
Okay. We have both, Martin and I have both won two each. So
I believe so.
Pressure's on.
Oh, okay.
Whoever wins this will be the champion.
Okay.
Until next quiz.
Robin? I want to hear your buzzer. What have you got?
My buzzer is
60% of the time, it works every time.
Nice.
Anchorman.
Let's hope the buzzer lives up to the statistic.
Martin, what have you got?
So I've gone for a British British cook, television cook, who's very family friendly, getting drunk at a football match and doing a call to arms to Norwich City supporters. So if that's not niche, I don't know what it is. Delia Smith, everyone. It's classic. It's one of the most bizarre things.
Excellent.
Where are you?
She's normally so delicate and well-spoken on the cookery programs. Oh.
She's not allowed.
She's not allowed at all, no. Okay. Nice.
Okay. Question one. Bit of an obscure one to start with. Who won the 1976 UK Pipe Smoker of the Year Award and was Pipeman of the Decade?
Winston Churchill.
It was not Winston Churchill.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Harold Wilson.
It was Harold Wilson, yeah.
Yes.
Very good. What a guess.
Well done. Put me on the right path.
I thought I'd have to give a clue there.
Winston Churchill more of a cigar man, wasn't he?
I think so.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah, he had his big stogies.
Yeah. Mm. Very good.
Yeah. You're both along the right lines, though. Well, I mean, Robin was definitely...
Martin was on the right line.
Very right line.
Harold Wilson was Prime Minister and smoked a pipe.
Okay. So that's 1-0 to Robin. Question two. Rosie, Goosefoot, and Northern are all types of which marine creature?
What? Northern.
And hey, Northern.
Rosie, what's the second? Goosefoot.
Yeah. Goosefoot, Rosie, and Northern are all types of which marine creature?
No idea.
Let's have a guess. Jellyfish.
It's not a jellyfish.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Is it a seal?
It is not a seal. Would you like a clue?
Yeah.
What was the second one?
Rosie Goosefoot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. Do they have feet?
I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrick.
Martin. Yep.
Martin. What?
No.
You seem so confident.
You had it.
Yeah. Actually, it's a starfish, isn't it?
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
It's a starfish, yeah.
I was just like... I was like
yeah, just mind blank, yeah.
Patrick Starr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one each. Ooh. As we go on to question three. Okay. Neither a borrower nor a lender be is a line from which Shakespeare play?
Oh.
Damn you, Alex.
I just know it from Peep Show, to be honest.
Yeah.
Neither a borrower nor a lender
be. What could it be? It's the thing.
60% of the time, it works every time.
The obvious one might be The Merchant of Venice.
It's not The Merchant of Venice, no. Good guess.
Yeah.
Not The Merchant of Venice.
I knew Shakespeare.
Much Ado About Nothing.
It's not Much Ado About Nothing. Want a clue? Well, it's not really a clue. So I give you a bit more
info.
Yeah.
It's a heavy hitter. It's one of the big ones. One of the big boys.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Not the quote that you'd remember from this one, necessarily.
Can I go now?
Yeah.
Is it really go for it. We each had a guess.
Macbeth.
It's not Macbeth.
It's a heavy hitter. 60% of the time, it works. Not heavy enough.
Not heavy enough.
Romeo and Juliet.
It's not Romeo and Juliet.
Hmm.
I reckon it would be the next guess. Go on.
You reckon?
60% of the time, it works every time.
Robin?
It's a stab in the dark, but it's Henry V.
It's not Henry V. Henry V does not count as a heavy hitter.
I thought it would.
Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay, so I tell you.
That's a heavy hitter.
No, it's not. It's not Midsummer
Night's Dream. Yes, it is. Oh, it's not.
Oh, it is a heavy hitter. I'll give you that.
Henry V as well. They're both heavy hitters. Yeah.
No, Henry V does not belong.
Second
tier. Because heavy hitter just means big and famous, right? I would say, in this context. Unless you mean it's a draft.
That's one of the ones you read at school, right?
Yeah.
He's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, Midsummer Night's Dream, Henry V. Both at school. And Macbeth.
I never read Henry V. Maybe I'm missing out.
Some people did, probably.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Go on, yeah. Just let us know.
Yeah.
It's all good. Tell us.
It's Hamlet.
Hamlet, okay. Hamlet's also a heavy hitter.
I also did that at school. I did. There's, yeah. One of the heaviest of the hitters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Question four. That's still one all. Which two countries has the most frequently crossed international border in the world? Which two countries have the most most crossed international border in the world?
Is this legally crossed?
I think so, yeah. Oh, well, not necessarily legally, but it's known, like documented.
Right. Okay.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's legal or not, to be honest, but just the documented crossings.
Where are
those?
Which two countries would be really, really tight? Everyone's going through.
Not necessarily, just volume. Mm. What about... there's a bug on the table, great.
Thank you.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Canada and America, USA.
It's not Canada and the USA.
Oh.
I've got a feeling it's going to be. Let's go for. Where are you? Glad I chose that one.
It's good.
India and Pakistan.
It's not India and Pakistan.
Ooh.
Would you like a clue?
Actually, why are people going over to know? It just like makes sense.
Silly.
I was just thinking volume.
This might what be continent? A fingers on buzzers clue here.
Oh.
We gotta build a wall.
USA and Mexico.
It is the USA and Mexico.
You're thinking illegal.
That was my first guess. Yeah.
You didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
But no, in fact, 990 million documented crossings are made annually across the world.
990 million a year.
See, when you said that as well, that put me off saying it too.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that was the first one that came to mind. Right, the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's crazy.
Okay. The total length of the continental border is also 3,145 kilometers.
That helps. It's
didn't
big.
Look that up. Mm. That's just knowledge.
Just off the head.
Old noggin.
You went and measured it, didn't you?
How much?
Yeah. Okay. Just
paste it out yourself.
So I think Martin got that point.
He did,
so it's 2-1. As we go on to question five.
Question Question five.
May have slightly better luck in this one, Robin. Maybe.
When is your birthday?
What is the title of Alfred Hitchcock's last completed film?
It was you were first.
Robin?
Was yeah? I? Okay, yeah. I thought Martin was.
No, you got there just before.
Family Plot.
It was Family Plot, yes. Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Oh, right.
I'd never heard of before before that, well, before knowing this. So
you need to be.
Would you recommend it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's unusual. It's quite 70s, but John Williams did the music before he was really famous.
Early, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Cool. So, two all, as we go on to question six. M.O. is the abbreviation of which U.S. state?
Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. I think Martin just got
Montana.
It's not Montana.
Oh,
okay.
M.O.
So what's Montana's M.N.?
That is not the question.
It's
and it's not relevant. Yeah,
maybe
probably.
It's empty.
Yeah, maybe.
What M.A.? I don't know.
Maybe just start doing it. You're right with the M. I'll say that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Missouri.
It is Missouri,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's the O in the second yeah, bit, I guess. Missouri. Yeah. M-O. Mm. Yeah,
cool. I would have gone for MS for Missouri and M-O for Montana.
Well, what about Massachusetts?
M-A.
M-A.
Touché. Let's
move on. That could be Maine.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That could be M-N. Let's just change them all.
Yeah. Okay, so that is... 3-2 to Robin.
Gotta get back in this.
Question 7. Melanophobia. Melanophobia is the irrational fear of what?
The sun.
It is not the sun. Good guess, though.
Isn't
there
a medical
good
thing,
guess.
Melanoma?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Related to it, yeah.
It's related to the sun, right?
I don't know. What melanoma.
Is it skin cancer? Or having melanoma? Don't know.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Is it fear of skin?
It's not the fear of skin. You're along the right lines with like that word, but think about that word and where it comes from and what it means, or what is in the skin that gives it that name. I've confused you now.
Yeah,
haven't I?
Yeah, yeah.
What's in the skin?
What's in the skin?
Yeah. Well, think about that word a bit.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Pigment, you know, like skin pigment, color,
fear of
skin color.
Color?
Fear of skin.
You're saying skin color.
Yes.
It's not skin color. No.
I mean, I'm not sure how you have a phobia of skin color without being afraid of skin. I can't look at it.
Or if you're just racist.
Well, yeah. Could it be? What makes up the skin? Have you said?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've confused now. Yeah. So I'll just give you the answer. So I give you the answers? Or did you want to have a guess?
Needles.
It's not needles, no. Yeah, I've definitely led you down the wrong path. It's the color black. So melanin is the thing in your skin that gives, like, the more melanin in your skin, the darker
your skin tone.
Did
not know that.
Yeah, the color black is melanophobia.
Right.
Question 8. 3-2 to Robin Star.
Running out questions.
According to the Bible, who did the Queen of Sheba test the wisdom of?
60% of the time, it works every time.
I assume it's King Solomon.
It is King Solomon, yes.
Solomon.
Very nice, Solomon. Very nice. So that's 4-2. You can still bring it back though, Martin.
Can do.
Totally can. And he will.
Question 9. Managua is the capital of which Central American country?
No idea.
Let's just go for. Yeah, exactly. Where are you? Where are you? You're Guatemala.
You're not Guatemala.
Yeah, you are.
I'm afraid.
Managua, did you say?
I don't know.
I'm probably mispronouncing
Central American. Yeah.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Chile.
It's not Chile.
Yeah.
So I give you a clue?
Costa Rica.
It's not Costa Rica.
That wasn't. Oh, yeah, give a clue. That wasn't.
Clue, please. Yeah.
Managua. The answer rhymes with Managua.
Ah. Nicaragua.
It's Nicaragua. Yes. Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
4-3. As we go on to question 10, you can still bring us back.
Paraguay.
Paragula. I know you both know the answer to this, so might be fingers and buzzers.
Oh no.
Question 10.
Yeah.
Which famous English highwayman was hanged for horse stealing in April 1739? Robin.
Dick Turpin.
No. It's Dick Turpin.
Sorry, yes. Martin.
Where are you?
From our
is anyone
classic...
out there?
Dick is anyone there? Dick Turpin?
In plain sight video. Which if you haven't seen it, you do watch it. Check it out. Yeah.
If it's still up.
I think it should be.
Well, it is now, but it might not be. Who knows? But yeah, we had fun there in Epping Forest.
We did. Yeah, well, we did indeed. You know, well done, Robin. Congratulations.
Well done, Martin.
Fantastic quizzing.
I feel like I stole that one.
I'm secretly,
you didn't. No, yeah. You didn't.
I'm secretly glad Robin won. You can't have another victory. This is...
Me? He's won more victories than I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
How many have you done?
He's 100%.
Is this my third?
Three from three.
Oh, no.
Don't be saying that. Maybe you should be wanting me to win.
Would you like the bonus question?
Yeah.
Okay. This I found really interesting, actually.
Oh.
What is?
Does it qualify for just interesting?
Forget it. Let's wrap up. What is the most frequently rolled number in two standard dice?
60% of the time it works every time.
8.
7.
It's not 8. It's 7. No, yeah.
7.
6
eight.
And 1, 3 and 4, 4 and 3, 5
yeah.
and 2.
Yeah.
2 and 5.
But stupidly when I heard that fact, I was like, but it's just random. And I was like, no, actually to roll a three, it's only like the only options are if you get like a 2 and a 1.
Yeah.
So, and same with like 12 is only if you get double sixes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I just thought that
good
was
quiz.
Quite interesting.
Oh, thanks, Alex. Nice variety of questions there. Very good.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah. And thank you for being with me today on this podcast.
And thank you again to our Patreon supporters. Yeah. And please hit us up on Twitter. I'm at All Time Robin.
At All Time Martin.
At Alex Brown ATC, which I desperately need to change now.
And definitely check out at JInterestingYT on Twitter.
Nice, remembered it.
We'll
very
always
good.
Be keeping an eye on it, looking indeed. For your questions and your suggestions and your comments.
Indeed. And the Patreon episode. New one out there. We're talking about cats eating dead bodies. So what more could you want?
Check them out.
Head on over and have a look at that.
Obviously tastefully handled by us.
Incredibly tastefully handled.
Always tasteful.
Yeah. Tact and decorum.
See you next time.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.